is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
I'm Val Myrick. I've been a master gardener here for a long time. I got to be in the first class that they had, so that was very exciting, and I like it so much, and I've stuck with it. So I'm going to talk about mainly planting bulbs, but I'm going to talk about a few other planting, annuals and perennials in the fall for spring color, because fall is the best time to plant in general, and if you start in the fall, your plants will be in good shape when the hot weather starts in spring. So anyway, I brought some catalogs you can look at. I want them back though, and a book on bulbs. It is breezy. All right, so I have an outline. I'm going to follow it. Okay, so I call bulbs geophytes. That's a new term I learned like the past 10 years, because it covers everything. So you don't have a botanist saying, yeah, but those are corms and they're not all bulbs, because bulbs are more like onions, and then the some are like potatoes, and then there's corms, which are flat like crocuses. These little flat guys. And we have a lot of great bulbs that grow from, or flowers that grow from corms. We have Ixias, Firaxis, which I failed to mention. And then the tubers are more like the anemones. So if you did the quiz, this is a daffodil bulb. This is a tulip bulb. And that, if that comes off, you're not in trouble. And the this is an allium, which is the name of it means onion. So, and then I told you these were crocuses, that's a corm. And what they do, they make a new one every year. So this sprouts the bulb, the plant, and then it makes new corms. Complete, you know, a glad is a corm too. And would you give a handout to her too? Okay, thanks. At the desk. And so then we have, this is a little dwarf iris. It's called a bulbous iris versus the big bearded ones or the short bearded ones that we're used to. They do, they look like garlic. It looks like a garlic clove, doesn't it? They don't grow like garlic, but it does look just like them. And if you have a Dutch iris, they have bigger ones. Okay, so I think I covered the ones I brought. Okay, so why do you want to plant in the fall? Well, first of all, that's when you got to plant the bulbs for fall. That's normal. But, you know, you could put up planting your pansies, things that a lot of people don't plant their pansies till they see them. And they also want to plant daffodils when they see them blooming, and you can never get them then. So here's pansies. Violas are relatives that are smaller. Like, you know, it's fun. There's so many different colors. It's fun trying to match and mix. I didn't bring any Johnny. These are violas. They're not the Johnny Jump-Up ones, though. But Johnny Jump-Ups are wonderful. And then this is a primrose. They come in lots of different colors, just about every color, I think. And there's some that have a cluster on a stem, and some have individual flowers coming up. And these tend to be taller. So I'm bringing ones that bloom a lot. Those three bloom. I think you get the most bloom out of pansies and violas. Now these are snapdragons. This is a dwarf one. They're daylight dependent, some of them are. And so if the days aren't long or short enough, they hold off blooming. So these, for me, they tend to not bloom all winter and bloom in the spring later on. Where violas and pansies bloom all winter, and they take the cold. If you live in a cold spot and get snow, you don't have to worry about them at all. And what happens, and then there's a whole bunch of perennials that you can get. And I started thinking of the six packs, you know, like you can buy columbines and dianthus, those little pinks they're called. They look like little carnations. I meant to mention that perennial comes back every year. He's a perennial favorite, you know, like a sports person, you know. Everyone loves him, you know, he's always around, everyone loves him. Biennial, they grow vegetation one year and they flower the next and they die. And an annual, you've got to plant them every year. And I did forget to mention a couple of favorite annuals too. I love forget-me-nots. I just have a few that have started blooming. And then calendulas, this is the kind that after they reseed forever in your garden and they change. And when you buy them, they're really short. Usually you buy little 12-inch tall ones or 8-inch. But if you keep them around long enough, they get taller. And calendula comes from the name calendar. They bloom every month of the calendar. They're tough. They bloom in the summer and they spread over your garden, but they're real easy to pull up. And they come in oranges and yellows, and you can get fancy ones. The thing about planting them, if you plant perennials and the annuals, anything you plant now, and especially biennials, is really important. If you plant them in the fall for biennials, you know, I told you they have to grow. If you plant them in the fall, it's going through a winter. So if they go through a winter, they think they've been there a whole year and they'll bloom the very first spring. Whereas you put them in the spring, you'll probably have to wait a whole year for them to bloom. So, and also, you know, they'll end up being like a 4-inch pot, a really nice clump by spring. And when it gets, you know, if you plant them in like April, it gets hot and they don't grow as well. And I like to plant these spring annuals, like pansies, in October, like till the weather gets like this, because they always die for me. I think they get rot. And it's too hot when the soil's hot. Some people don't have that problem. And, you know, these are all sort of shady part things, but in the winter they like sun. And one way to get it is to make them happy is to plant under a tree, because then the leaves fall off in the winter and they come on in the spring and shade them a little bit. So they keep them happy. So I wanted to talk to you. That's why it's really good to plant now. Here's some lists. Annuals, we got Iceland poppies. I couldn't find any when I went shopping. I didn't see any to bring. Iceland poppies are lovely. They bloom more towards spring, but they're little poppies and they grow about this tall and they just look lovely. Calendula stocks. I have a hard time with stocks. I live in a cold spot and they freeze on me, or my drainage isn't as good. Larkspur, you can grow that from seed and it comes back and it takes the heat. Sweet peas, you start them about October and they go through the winter and they bloom in the spring. Sweet alyssum is that little low white. You guys need some handouts? I got some right here. Okay. So anyway, they're good for fillers. They smell good. So then the perennials and biennials are the primroses, English daisies, pinks, sea pinks, columbines. The biennials are foxgloves and Canterbury bells. Then we got all the geophytes. And I list them there. And I just mentioned a few. Yeah, these are the handouts. Yeah. So when you're getting ready to plant, a lot of things are pretty tough, like the daffodils. You could probably just stick them in your ground and they'll grow. But if you want it like the perennials and the more of the flower, the herbaceous plants, not the geophytes, they probably need a better home. So you can amend it with organic matter like compost, dig up some of the rocks. But the thing is, you need good drainage for everything. And you know, if you have a really bad soil, you could just put a nice mound of good dirt over and make it, you know, deep and plant in that. And you could do a rock garden too. You know, put rocks in there and help with your mound. Oh, rock garden. Nancy says, this is the rock garden. We have a little mound there. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a big mound. So I think the real important thing is to loosen the ground a little bit so the bulb can grow. Okay, and if you're mixing in organic matter, make sure you don't have layers. Like, you don't want to put one kind of soil right on top, unless you have a real big mound in it, because it doesn't drain very well. You want to sort of combine the layers where they interface, so they gradually change. Okay, so I mentioned that when we're planting, that good drainage is important, and you need to protect a lot of bulbs, especially, mainly tulips from gophers. They love tulips, so I often just plant them in pots. And you want to provide winter and early spring sun for just about everything. And a lot of people think you have to chill tulips and stuff in the refrigerator bulbs. You don't have to here. We're plenty cold enough to grow them without chilling. You don't have to bother doing all that. Nancy, you are too, aren't you? You have tulips. Yeah. Yeah. So the timing. Yes, they do. They love tulips. The gophers eat the bottoms and tulips eat the top. I mean, and the deer eat the tops. So you don't have to worry about ever seeing them again. Don't have to worry about them crowding you out. So the timing for planting, it's really funny. One nurseryman said, we're about out of bulbs, but you know, it's getting a little late to plant them anyway. I went, oh, no, that's not true. But tulips you don't want to plant until the leaves are falling off, because it needs cool soil to be happy. The other things you can plant as soon as you get them. If you have daffodils growing in your yard and you go out and where it's been watered and you go out and dig them up in September, there'll be roots on them usually if they get moisture. As soon as they get moisture, they put out the roots. So most of this stuff will do well if you can get them established as soon as possible. That's me. She asked, is it okay to leave your bulbs in the ground? Yes, it is. Yes. It saves a lot of trouble. And you should be aware that some things like it dry in the summer. And I think the tulips that I've seen growing outside that have come back every year have been in planters up above ground beds. And they have come, I used to watch in my neighborhood, they would come back every year. And I think they were kept drier, or they had good drainage. And then there's some things like ranunculus, which are, those people get them mixed up with anemones that look like poppies, but they have these tubers, or whatever they are. They look sort of like spider. They have little legs. So you plant them like this. So they like it dry in the summer. And I think a lot of tulips would like it dry-ish in the summer, and a lot of daffodils do too. And that's why we're really good place for these things, if you can keep the gophers from eating them. And I have a list in here that they say is true. We'll see. Oh, thank you. You can take all that stuff. And then this. I want them to have, make sure they have, oh, I gotta keep one of those. Okay. So, depth and spacing. They always say three times as deep as the bulb is. Or the diameter, deep as three times the diameter. So just review, diameter is the distance across. So you go like that, then you go three times, one, two, three. So it'll be like this deep for tulips, about six inches for this size. And then some tulips are very tiny. There's different kinds of tulips. Their species tulips come in very small bulbs, so you just do it based on the size. So that's a good general plan. And how far apart? Well, if you want it to look showy, you plant them pretty close. If you don't want to ever dig them up again, you can plant them further apart. But you don't want to put them in little rows. You try to make it look natural. Do them clumps, they'll be showier too. And I think it's fun if you can have a cutting garden so you can go out and cut the tulips. And cut the daffodils, or have enough that you can do that. So, and if you have one color, it's more of an impact. I have trouble with one color because I want them all, but one color does look really nice, or one type of daffodil in a clump. Julie, we have handouts there. So. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was going to mention that. Yeah, let's see. I'm getting there. I'm going to tell you though. Anemones are hard, because they don't have a top and a bottom, obvious. Well, it's usually you put them flat. But they, and you could tell, they have a little tuft. You could look on the bulb and there's a little tuft coming out. And that is the vegetation from last year. It looks like roots, but it's the top. And if you don't know, just plant them on the side.
Well, your depth chart is a perfect example of what's up and what's down.
Thank you for reminding me. My handouts, yes, I have a lot in this handouts. And he mentioned, look here, this shows you a picture. But it is hard. It is hard with, the hardest one is these anemones. Because sometimes they get very big and craggy, and it's hard to tell up and down. It's that little tuft. There's a little tuft on the top. But you have to look really close and probably put your glasses on if you're old enough to see it. I can see it in this one. You guys can look at this later. Yeah, because it looks like roots, but they're stems. I used to wonder. I figured it out. Okay. And so the bulbs, true bulbs, there's a pointy side that goes up. The allium's a little harder to tell, but you can sort of see the little top. And we're used to knowing you can see the roots on the bottom. It helps. Yeah, so I talked tulips. Yeah, most of these are pointy. So, and then the corms, they have, you can sort of see the roots on the bottom, and there's a little tiny point on the top. Okay. Now, I was telling you about the spacing. You could, when I plant, I often like plant the deeper ones like daffodils. I'll put the little ones like these are windflowers, and they are very small. They're like this. And they're so charming. They're like little daisies. And I put them on top of the daffodil planting. And also I put crocus. Crocus on top. Crocuses, these are crocus. So I put those on top of the bigger bulbs because they only have to be a couple inches. And there's also grape hyacinths. And I didn't bring any, but they look leafy. Right now they're already up, but there's some in that pollinator garden. They look a lot like this. This is also a short bulb. They look like this, and they're handy because you can mark where your bulbs are by putting a grape hyacinth there. But they spread like mad, and they're hard to get rid of. But they are charming. Do the deer eat them? Oh, they're on the list of the deer don't eat, so I didn't know whether to believe that list.
I know.
Get a dog, you don't have to worry about it.
That's right, an offense. Yeah, so they're on that list. She knows. She is. I bet a lot of you know what the deer eat, but we'll have Eileen tell us, keep us on track what the deer eat. Now, Bill the Ball Baron, who's coming to talk with the Master Gardener in November at our first meeting, which is the first Tuesday of the month in November, and it's, I gave you a handout, it's November 6th, and you're welcome to come at 5 o'clock at the Senior Center. He is a guy from near Santa Cruz, and he has all kinds of bulbs. He likes the paper white types, the Tizettas, and he has a whole bunch of other odd things. Like, I brought you some odd bulbs here. I'll tell you about them in a bit. But he has odd stuff. And his way of, I've never heard of this, and I wonder, does he do this so he can sell bulbs? Because people say, oh, it's a lot of work. What you do with him, you dig a hole like 6 inches deep. You can just dump the daffodil bulbs in there and don't worry about them. Now, I don't know if they're mainly Tizettas that you can do this with or not. I'm going to ask them. But you just dump them in. You don't have to worry up or down unless they're growing, then you put them up. But, and he said, just make sure the top bunch is 2 inches below the dirt. So, well, I didn't read the dumping in part. I just read that you can put them real close. So when I got some of them last year, and I could, you know, put 12 in a little spot, and it was so freeing because there's one, you know, bulb here, and it takes up a lot of room, a lot of little digging of holes. So it was really nice. So, and he says they know when they're crowded. They bloom better when they're crowded, and they know they're crowded and don't keep multiplying. So isn't that amazing? We'll see if that works. That's what he says, but it's so much easier. And if you do have a new garden, the easiest way is to just dig up a hole and make it flat. And you can, I like to loosen up underneath where the bulbs are going to be, and I could put some high phosphorus fertilizer, like 5-10-5 or superphosphate, and then I put a lot of dirt over it, because you don't want the bulbs, our new flowers touching the fertilizer. Yes. A corm, a bulb is, a bulb stays there. It blooms, it gets bigger, or it splits off. And a corm, which is like a crocus, one is a storage stem, but it disappears. It grows and it puts out the plant and it just goes away and it forms a new corm towards the end of the growing season. So some of them are root, some of them are roots, some of them are stems, and I can't remember that. I should have reviewed it, but gladiolas and crocuses, spiraxes and ixias. Thanks, Eileen. Eileen, you're doing my cleanup work. What is that?
Oh, I just put it for paperweight.
Oh, my paperweight. Oh, okay. Yeah, so we did talk a little bit about that. And then we've got, well, I think this might be a tuber, the anemones. I'm sorry I didn't look it up. It would tell you. Okay.
So a corm, the original bulb will disappear.
It disappears.
It'll just produce a new.
A new one. Yeah.
And we have some nice native bulbs.
Yes, I'm not doing natives because that's just another whole scope.
They do good.
Yeah, they're, you know, and a lot of this stuff does fine without watering in the summer because they're from the Mediterranean and their climate's similar to ours and they don't have much rain in the summer. So that's why a lot of them like it dry.
Do you ever put mulch in the hole on top of the bulb just to give them a little breathing room?
No, I might put mulch on top of the planting, but I don't put it around the bulb. I might add it organic matter to the hole if I dig a big hole, but I would like it. You know, it's got to go out, and I don't want to encourage rot because that mulch would attract water holding capabilities. Some people put gravel around them to keep the varmints out. I think I've never done that. Yeah, have you done that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I don't. Well, I don't have that.
Moles.
I just have moles, but
yeah.
They don't eat bulbs. They just mess with them.
They don't eat the bulbs.
No, not moles. And yeah, squirrels, people will have their squirrels will dig up stuff. And they eat my, I think I had squirrels eating this. This is magic, what is it called? Magic lily? No, it's something else. Sophranthus. It's rain lily. Thank you, Julie. Rain lily. Yeah, they someone was eating my leaves all summer one year. I think it was those little gray squirrels from the trees. And they haven't been doing it, but something digs in pots. I don't know. So
there are animals here.
There are animals. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Raccoons.
We don't have any problem with bulbs. I mean with bugs. Bugs are fine. You know, the things with teeth.
Yeah, those teeth. Okay, so yes. Oh, she was asking if gophers will climb over your walls, like she heard. And Julie, master gardeners, I know, I think it's more than six. I think it's because they can just stand on their hind legs and go like that. So I bet it's like at least a foot, 18 inches. There's a limit.
If
anyone know? Probably not.
Good.
Unless they have,
I would suspect they can't get much over this because they really don't crawl up the sides of the
They can't reach up and pull themselves up like getting out of the swimming pool?
Their little front legs are designed for swimming through dirt.
Well, gophers too?
All of them. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're all dirt swimmers.
So Linda says 6 inches. Anybody else have an opinion?
Six to eight.
Yeah.
Well,
it is very.
Small.
Oh. Okay. Good. Yes, you could sit on them too. And it's nice if you could make one high enough you can sit on, but just think about it, you got to get a lot of dirt. So after you plant the bulbs, you want to water them in. And I think some people think, oh, it's going to rain. I don't have to water them in. Or they'll put the sprinkler attachment and just sprinkle it. No. But some years, like last year, you know, and it's sneaky. You know, you get all this rain. And, you know, the ground sort of stays wet. You don't think about watering. And then we have like 2 months of dry weather and things dry on people because you forget you have to water in the winter if it doesn't rain. So once your bulbs are growing, that's when you need to water them. And if you have dry spells of like a month, you need to water them again. It takes a lot longer for them to dry out in the winter because it's so cool and they haven't grown much. They're not using much. So don't forget to water. Leave the leaves on. Oh, and then you fertilize again when the flowers are blooming. So you do it like twice. After the, you leave the leaves on until they turn yellow, and people do not like to do that. That bothers them. So think about where you plant things. So if it bothers you to see those dead leaves, put the bulbs in the back and put something else in front of them. Or put them someplace where you don't have to go in the summer. It won't bother you. And like, they're so easy. You can put them in the way outside. We don't have water. You know, you can put them on the outskirts. Put alyssum too. But people, yeah, it bothers people. So people, they braid them. You see other people do it, so you think it's okay. It's not okay. They braid their daffodil leaves, and then they rubber band them into, they tie them like a little knot. Makes it look tidy, but they don't like it. Because those leaves are what's going to give you flowers for next year. Because when you buy those bulbs, they have the flowers already in them. But you're responsible for getting next flowers to show up. So don't braid them. Don't do any of that. And if you have to, you can. I think a lot of them can get away with it, but it's best not to. I mean, I have friends who braid them and their flowers come back. So then you can cut them off when they, you can usually just pull them off. But, and you can leave your bulbs in the ground. We talked about that. Okay, now, picking out your bulbs. Usually it's bigger the better. And I got these locally, and they were pretty bargain price. But they were not the biggest bulbs I've ever gotten. Like, this is a daffodil bulb, and it does have two noses, which is nice. This is King Alfred type. So I noticed that the same place that had these little bulbs, yeah, they should be more like that. But, and they had, you could buy them in a big bag of maybe 100 or 50, which I didn't want, and they were a lot bigger. So they were cheaper and bigger. But anyway, these will grow fine, and you know, your budget is limited and you want a lot, you can get the smaller size and get a lot and they'll get bigger. And then you want to make sure they're not mushy, because sometimes after a while they get mushy, so don't take them home. I got all these. These are all fine, but they weren't quite as big as I was used to, but I'm happy. I just want to get some King Alfred types because I haven't grown those. If you get a double nose, some of them, I had a good double nose one here. Sometimes they look ready, you could separate them. Don't separate them. Just leave them. They'll separate on their own. And usually if you have a double nose like this, you'll get two flowers. And I wanted to tell you about what a lot of people don't know is that when, say if it's buying shrubs and like roses, think about roses. People think it's really funny that there's a rose society. I mean, they don't think it's funny there's a rose society. But roses come in all different, they come in climbers, they come in shrub roses, they come in little miniature, you can get them in a teacup at the grocery store. They come in infinite sizes and variety. The same with bulbs, like daffodils, for example, come in, you can get King Alfred with the big trumpets, you can get ones with little centers, you can get tall ones, short ones. Some will bloom in, I wrote it down too in some place, in December. I started getting daffodils that bloom in December, and I wrote their names down so I could remember. St. Kervin and Rheingveld's Early Sensation, they will be out around New Year's Day. One of them is. And the other one follows soon. And they're short trumpet daffodils, and they're yellow, and they're just so charming, and it's really fun when Christmas is over and it's sort of depressing. And you have these little daffodils shooting up.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us for more information, remember you can contact our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912, or you can look us up on the kaad-lp.org website. Look for Over the Garden Gate. Thank you.